Wanna go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 352 of the big show of 2024. Here we are. How you guys doing? Yeah, it seems, I don't know why, it feels like it's been a while. Hope everybody had a good Christmas. Hope Santa was good to you. When was the last time that we did this? I had Alec on. I think it was on Christmas Eve, I think I recorded, wasn't it? Something like that. So yeah, it's been a minute, but yeah, guys, well, here we are in the second day of 2024. Like I said, I hope everybody's Christmas went well, their New Year's, and here we go. First episode of the new year. Boy, we got a real humdinger for you here today. No, I will say at the top of the show here, I just wanted to come on and record something, you know, fairly quick. Watch, I'll ramble for an hour. Well, technically, I wanted to actually do this on the 31st, so it would be out on the 1st, but things did not go as planned. I will say the last, well, everyone's, I'm assuming most people listening, shouldn't say everyone, but most people listening, of course, the silly season is you're going here, there, and everywhere, and not a lot of time for anything. So I certainly wasn't going to try to line a guest up or anything around Christmas or New Year's, because that's, you know, that's the, no. So you're kind of just, you're stuck with me here to begin with, but I do have some news about the show coming up here. But basically, I just wanted to get something out. I had a few questions actually asked of me the last few days, and I wrote them down, and I said, well, I will answer these on the air. I got, oh, of course, the all-important hockey cards from Dollarama, because of course, you know, can't go a week without going to Dollarama for something. So we'll open those up, and oh, the World Juniors, oh, Canada law, oh my goodness, Canada law. I'm surprised I'm even recording after Canada loses. I'm wearing black, the lights are all off, I might cry myself to sleep tonight. We'll talk that idiocy here in a second. Yeah, I don't know. Just talk about a few things. I'm looking at my notes here. It's 2:48, but for some reason I'm sitting in the dark here. Anyway, we'll start with, as I always do. I mean, it's a new year, but same story, right? Obviously, I'm a member of the hockey. Well, I'm still a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, at least for now, I guess. I am on the original, there's 100 shows in the network. I am on the original content creator side, along with Terry Ryan, Tales with TR. He's always banging new episodes out. Of course, Joel Lazito over there at the Coliseum Chronicles. Somebody get a hold of Joe. I don't know. After running into Sears, you notice after you ran into Sears in there a couple weeks back, no, haven't heard from him. I think Sears might just have had enough of Lazito. I don't know. I'm not casting. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to say there's anything foul happening, but I don't know. Somebody better do a welfare check at Lazito here. I haven't heard from him. Jolt and Joe, I know he's working on an episode. He's interviewing a character. And you know Joe, because it's got to be 72 parts, right? So it's, you know, when he interviews, Joe's the only guy I know that interviews people and it takes a 4-week period to do the interview. So I'm not going to say who it is, but I'm really looking forward to it. I know Because as far as I know, this guy's never done an interview on a podcast. So, and he's a minor league legend. He'd be on some people's Mount Rushmore. So, and I'm a huge fan. So, I'm not going to say who it is, but it'll be good. Also, Alec, my past guest here, my previous guest, is we did a state of the, you know, we always say they have the State of the Union. Well, we did the State of the East Coast Hockey League. And Alec came on and we talked at the quarter pole here. We talked about who's hot and who's not and who to watch for and what's happening. And so I suggest you tune into that. But Alec has Five for Fighting podcast. I know he's got some things going on in his life where I'll tell you, he's always got something going on, you know, with the young kids. You know, they're at that age where it's, you know, they're still, you know, you're still in that transition period. You know, you just got married. You're still trying to find jobs or air quotes careers and moving and setting things up. So shit's always going on. You know, and you haven't put down roots yet, I guess is what I'm saying. So, you know, in saying all that, you know, there's always something happening. And, you know, so he's been a little, well, I'm not being mean when I'm saying this because he says the same thing. We were talking about it on the episode. He's been obviously inconsistent with his episodes just due to the fact that life is getting in the way, right? So, but he has a great back catalog. I notice he's still fighting with the East Coast League. Well, to subvert from that for a second. Yeah, Alec put up a video clip of the goalie fight that I don't know who the goalies were, but it was a goalie fight from the other night. And of course, the East Coast League puts a copyright strike on his YouTube channel, so he has to take it down. But like Alec pointed out, well, there's a number of channels that have that goalie fight up, and they're still up. So it's like, oh, it's definitely become a personal thing between the East Coast League and Alec, for sure. I laugh, whoever the buffoon is that does the communications to the East Coast League on Twitter, of course, you know, Alec has asked him, and it wasn't like Alec was sitting there motherfucking him and everything else and swearing at him. He asked him a legit question. Why is my shit getting taken down and no one else's is? And, you know, and of course the guy won't ask him. In fact, the guy takes himself out of the conversation. He won't block Alec, but he takes himself out of the tweet. And it's like, oh, you gutless prick. Like, I laughed. So the communications guy for the East Coast League won't communicate. I'm like, I have never... Well, just as a sport in general, but for a league, after watching what Alec has gone through, and I know the East Coast League has been kind of like this for a bunch of years, they're always like putting copyright. They're always doing this horse shit. And I mean, I don't know. Is taking a hockey fight clip down from social media because that's hurting your league or something? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're so... Shit, the NHL doesn't even do that shit. Like, and you talk about petty leagues and leagues that can't get out of their own way. Like I said with hockey, I've never seen a sport that can't get out of its own way. You just... Well, and this is what happens when you get fucking nerds in positions like this. Like, good job, Hammerhand, really bucking for that promotion. Oh, you got the goalie fight clip taken down off that Five for Fighting channel. Oh, you're getting a raise here in the new year. Like, you're such a nerd. Like, why? Is this bothering anybody? Are the teams complaining about it or anything? Like, no, God forbid we actually get promotion from your league. You clowns couldn't sell pussy on a troop train. I'm telling you now. Like, just, it's embarrassing. Like, I wouldn't put you in charge of a lemonade stand, let alone a hockey league. Like, these leagues just do not know. Like, pick your battles. That's what it comes down to. Like, if you want to get legal, well, that's like copyright law. Like, Like, if you want to be nerds, okay. But I'd love, like I said, with this clown, and I mean, I know Alec has harped on this numerous times, and he's asked the dude, the commissioner of the East Coast, what, just give me an answer. Why won't you let me put fight clips up? That's it. That's my question. You never come back with anything, though. You're just too gutless to answer. Because it's so petty. Especially when there's other... And I'm not going to start throwing out, because I'm not going to snitch on anybody, but it's not hard. Go find him. It's not... There are other channels out there putting up the fight clips. They're still up. And I know you guys know about them. but you don't do anything there. Like I said, I laugh because you're basically the, you know, like, this is the NHL and whatever. You're an affiliate of the NHL. Well, the main league isn't shutting down people's channels. So, but yet you are. AHL isn't. AHL never takes down anyone's clips, but here's the East Coast. Southern Pro doesn't. Federal League doesn't. But there's the East Coast League. Well, congratulations. There you go. Yeah, you're one out of the five North American leagues. I mean, the junior leagues don't. Junior A doesn't. The only league in North America that copyrights and takes down or gives any shit about fight clips is the East Coast Hockey League. So, congratulations. There you go. You know? Just embarrassing. And then, like I said, then they don't have the nuts to actually come on social media and say to Alec to why. Like I said, he was respectful in his question to you. He asked both of you, the commissioner and the communications clown, what is it then? Why can't I? Well, I'm just asking. And if if you just want to come back and say, it's because we don't like you. Just say that then. Like, have some balls. No, we got to hide, take ourselves out of the conversation. Like, just gutless. You're so gutless. And like I said, clueless. Like I said, how is this hurting your league whatsoever? Whatsoever. I just laughed at what was the one video. It was last year or the year before that Alec had put up on his channel. I can't remember how many hundred. It might have had a million. Might have had a million views. I'm not exaggerating. I think it did. It had hundreds and hundreds of thousands anyway. And I just laughed because if you went to the actual East Coast League, it had more views than anything that the East Coast League had put up, anywhere close to what they had put up. But again, is this a bad thing for your league? Why would you say these leagues don't get it? Well, I shouldn't say that. They're the only one. It's just embarrassing. Like, just get a clue. Like, holy. Like, I would think as a league, you have greater things to worry about than, you know, some joker down in North Carolina that puts up the odd fight clip on a YouTube channel. Like, this is the war that you're going to fight. Oh, yeah. Nerds. Anyway, where was I? Oh, Alec, 5 for Fighting Podcast. Check it out. Well, go to his YouTube channel now because, I'm sure at some point, goddamn, the feds are going to kick his door down and shut the whole operation, you know? So you better get on it now. Rip those clips, as the kids say. Anyway, speaking of YouTube, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. I have over 2,000 videos on my channel. Go subscribe to the channel, please. Check it out. Everything's sorted. Whatever league you're looking for, type into the little search engine thing there, the little magnifying glass, and boom, away you go. So, if you happen to be watching a video on my channel or Alex's channel or whoever's channel and you enjoy it, hit the thumbs up. Like, again, I always say that, and I know it sounds corny as shit, but YouTube loves it. It helps us out in the algorithms and subscribe and all that stuff because that's how the channels grow and all that stuff. And whatever podcast you're listening to, mine, Alec, Joe's, whoever, when you're on iTunes or Spotify or whatever platform you're listening to it, there's that star rating at the top. Could you rate the show, please? Because, again, it helps us out in the algorithms. And download, don't stream. That's how we get paid. And, there's my PSA. I know it's the new year, and you kind of figured, maybe in the new year he won't start. No, I'm always going to say that because constant reminders, I'm telling you. Well, I was going to say, somebody told me one time, why do you say that all the time? I was going to say, I've done 352 episodes. I have 81 reviews. I have 81 rating on iTunes or as Spotify, and iTunes is like 37. Yeah, I've been doing this shit 5 years. And I have 81 ratings. So clearly, no one's really doing it. That's all I'm asking for the listeners. It's one little thing you can do for me. Two little things. I guess download is the other one. Two little things. Just have to hit the star thing. You don't need to write out War and Peace. Just need to hit the stars. That's all. It'd be greatly appreciated. I've always say this for any podcast that you listen to. Again, Rogan and Spit, they don't need your star rating. Believe me, they're in everyone's algorithms. They're fine. But for smaller shows like myself and others, it's a big deal to us. Not that I give a shit what my star rating is. That's not why I'm saying it. It, like, again, it helps in the algorithms. It's like when you listen to a podcast and then it says, if you like this, you might like these shows. Well, that's how you get into the, you might like these shows for people. Same thing with YouTube. You know, when you're hitting YouTube and on the right hand side, it's like similar videos. That's how you get into that, is it the algorithm. That's why I always say, could you please rate and review? It's not some, ego-driven thing, like, oh, so I got 5 out of 5 stars, I don't, whatever, I mean, you can rate how you want to rate it, but I'm just saying it helps, it's just the fact, it's the engagement that I'm looking for, so you can rate it any way you'd like, I mean, preferably you'd like more stars, obviously, but I'm, you know, but I'm not here to sway opinions, I'm just saying, if you could do that, that would be lovely, but, all right, let's get into this nonsense. Where's my notes here? Well, actually, I was going to say at the start of the New Year's there, did you see Jeremy Yablonsky dressed for the Idaho Steelheads? Oh, that kind of shook things up. I think everybody thought Yabo was making the big return to pro hockey. No, I think he lives in the Texas area, and when Idaho comes through that area on their road trip, because it's not like the NHL, right, where you're flying around and stuff, you know. I think when they come through that area, and if they're short, they just like to dress them just to have a body. You know, and he's familiar with Idaho and, you know, obviously management and whatever. Like I said, when they're in the area, he just, he'll dress and, you know, I think he got 2 shifts, but, fortunately didn't fight. But it was something when you saw Idaho Steelheads transaction sign Jeremy Yablonsky, you know, pretty wild. Yeah, well, I guess the elephant in the room right now in Canada anyway, of course, is the World Junior Tournament. I think more or less Canada is the only country that actually gives a shit about the World Junior Tournament. And I'm not going to try to sound like bitter old man here and who gives a shit, you know, and all that. I'm not going to, you know, whatever. I didn't actually watch a minute of it this year. Not, I don't know, I just didn't bother, but... it is a big tournament and it's a big deal for junior age players, not just in Canada, but for all junior age players at that time. It's a showcase tournament for them. You're playing the best in the world and, it's a chance to show your shit. So it is a big deal for the players. You know, and it was, you know, and I've certainly watched it. I've attended it. Somebody asked, that was one of the questions. What was my favorite World Junior year? Well, I got to say 1991 when it was here in Saskatoon. And, we got to see Eric Lindros and Scott Thornton and Brad May. And of course, John Slaney with the famous goal with a minute left in the game to win the game for Canada. Or win the gold medal for Canada. And, it was a fun tournament. Actually, Pavel Bure was here. Doug Waite was here. I mean, it was a big tournament. Of course, back then you didn't know who they were, right? You know, going on, of course, the careers they had. But, and of course, this is pre-internet. So outside of the Western Hockey League guys that were on the team, we had never seen these people. So that's why I always say with people, it sounds so archaic to say now, but of course, this is, of course, the Lindros year, like the hype with Lindros, right? The next one. And I mean, you had seen him on TV and of course they did like Sports Desk or whatever would do like little news features on him. But, to finally see him in person, it was like, holy, look at this guy. Like, he looked like a man amongst boys. And, he had a great tournament and lived up to all the hype and, just flattening guys and shit. And Brad May with 300 penalty minutes from Ontario. Again, we didn't know who he was, but they had the rosters in the newspaper here before the tournament and they had the stats. And we're like, this guy had 309 minutes in like Niagara Falls. Like, oh, this guy's my favorite guy now, you know? And of course he ran around and, yeah, it was just cool. And, you know, we went to a few of the games and, that was a really cool vibe. And like I said, to see him win gold here with a minute left with Slaney scoring it, it was a real cool tournament and has a lot of memories for me. So I would say that's obviously my favorite one, but, you know, and I mean, anytime it's your country, I mean, obviously you want your country to win gold. I mean, it wasn't like I'm losing sleep if they didn't. I mean, like some people here, but, you know, I mean, as it's gone on and gotten older, obviously it's gotten more commercialized than everything else and like everything in life. But I think obviously now with social media, like I said, with social media, every bozo gets an opinion and gets to share it with the world. And like I said, here in Canada, if they don't win the gold medal, oh, the sky is falling and we need to change everything. And, oh, I told you we shouldn't have picked him. We should have picked this guy. Like some bozo's crying that some guy that has, that averages 2 points a game didn't get picked and they took this guy. And, oh, he's only got 25 points in 24 games. Oh, that's it? A point a game. Yeah, that's the shits, isn't it? I will point out, being overseas, it was played on bigger ice, which obviously the North American teams aren't used to. Just saying, I'm not trying to make excuses why Canada didn't win, but let's be honest, that doesn't help the game, help Canada's game when it's on a larger ice surface. These, some of these guys never played on it before, whereas the Europeans play on it all the time. So, okay, well, that'd be a little bit of an advantage, I would think. Of course, granted, I guess you could say when they come to a North American size rink, that gives them the advantage over the European team. So you can see where I'm going with this. You know, you can always have these. But like I said on Twitter today, I'm like, well, oh, they should have picked him instead of him. And they're all crying. Like Canada took fourth line guys or something. Like every one of the guys they picked is like the best players on their team. And I'm like, oh, so you picked the Ferrari instead of the Porsche. And the other country's Lamborghini beat you. Like, it's just like, who? I mean, is it the best? Well, no, because Bedard wasn't there. Bedard could play, two more years in this tournament. So, obviously, it's not the best junior age players in the world because there's a bunch of them in the NHL that didn't get sent back. And I'm sure for other countries, it's the same thing. I didn't look into it. I'm sure there's Russians that are playing and Americans that are over there. I'm just using Bedard as an example. Imagine if Team Canada had Bedard. Well, yeah. I'm just saying. I'm taking this from a Canadian perspective because this is all the crying I'm hearing online is from fellow Canadians. It's like, okay, so they didn't take their, air quotes, best players. Again, it's not like any of these guys suck. I love that one. Well, we took a bunch of guys that weren't very good. Like, it's just, this is the tweets I'm reading. Like, this is how moronic everything is. So from the year 2000 to 2023, so 23 years, Canada's won 20 medals. Yet we're still, God forbid, if we don't win the gold, though, everything's falling apart and we need to change things. Like, oh God. Like, how many golds has Canada won? Didn't they win two or three in a row here? But oh God, if you don't win gold every year and blow everybody out by 10 goals, well, we're just not as good anymore. I mean, or, you know, because, hey, I mean, it's not like, oh, the rest of the world might just be catching up. God, that can't be it, can it? And they're all just, every country's bigger. Like, you know, no. Like, that's the big one is the United States finally is like catching up. It's like, well, there's as many Americans in Texas as there is in Canada, you know, like population wise. So obviously as more of the population gets into hockey and more rinks and their development system starts catching up, well, clearly, like, it's called math. I'm just saying, like, they're going to catch up, right? Well, not going to, they have, you know, and it's it's a one game. I mean, you have the round robin or whatever, but once the actual tournament starts, it's one and you're out. So that's always tough too. If it was a best of three or best of seven, you know, I think that you might find the winner, you know, it might change the results a few times. Now that might change the results in Canada not winning the gold either. But, you know, when it's one game and out, I mean, anything can happen, get a bad bounce and holy shit, you're out. I mean, that you can say that for any team. So this idea that all of a sudden, oh, well, we can't play hockey anymore. We're no good. Let's just, oh, yeah, lousy coaching this year. Like, oh, you know, okay. Like, it's just, it's the same. Well, new year, same shit, right? It's people are morons and they got a bitch and it's just, oh, we didn't medal this year. Well, Canada sent a subpar team. Okay. Yeah. Subpar team. Yeah, sure. Oh, it's just embarrassing. But wait, what would you expect? Would anything change in the new year with social media? Hell no. Of course not. So that's the end of my World Junior talk. Let's open these hockey cards, shall we? Have to sit there staring at me. Well, the first pack I got is 07-08 Heroes and Prospects. These are junior cards. And, yeah. Well, let's see. Hopefully I can open these a little easier. They did open easy. I was gonna say last time I did this on the air, I think it took me 38 seconds to open up the pack of cards. Here we go. Okay. Oh, they're sticking together on me here. First, Nathan Oistrich. There we go. Former old BC Surrey Eagles, played in the NHL for a little bit. He's with the Chicago Wolves in this one. Actually, I used to talk to him quite a, not quite a, not like we were besties or anything, but I used to talk to him online a lot, on Twitter. And, I talked to him about coming on the show and we were going to set something up. I know he had, after the unfortunate, the tragedy in Humboldt, I know the next year he actually took over as head coach and, he was doing great with him, but halfway through the season he left and I'm not, and, I mean, clearly he wasn't fired because they were like in first place. They had like 21 wins and like, and, so I don't know what happened there. And, he kind of seemed to really fade off of social media at that point. And it was like that time I didn't want to bother him because I didn't know what was going on. Like, you know, his personal things or whatever. So, I always kind of stayed away, but I should try reaching out here. It's been a couple of years. So, cause I'd love to sit down and talk with him, you know, just, yeah. Nathan Oyster. There we go. Jean-Simon Ellard. I don't know who that is. Oh, it was the Heroes and Prospect. Yeah, Dominic Hasek. And it shows them like in their junior uniforms and stuff. The next card is, Kyle Beach. Yeah, that's, obviously, those that are paying attention to hockey in the last couple of years know that unfortunate incident with the Chicago Blackhawks and that organization with Kyle Beach. He was their first round pick. He played in Everett in the Western League. Solid player. I believe he was a first round pick. You know, he would score. He put up some penalty minutes. I know, during his playing days, I know in the Western League, he was, they were, the boys targeted him for sure. I know he wasn't real popular. He kind of had that kind of, you know, that, really get under your skin, Barnaby type, type player. But yeah, highly skilled and, you know, unfortunately, you know, those that want to look into the, you know, the Kyle Beach story, you know, I'm not going to rehash it on here, but yeah, some real, real unfortunate incident that went on with the Blackhawks organization in Rockford and stuff. And, yeah, that, yeah, not good. Not good. Final card, Corey Emerton. Where does it say on the back here? Yeah, Detroit. Yeah, first, second round pick with Detroit. Yeah. I don't recall him having a really huge, long NHL career. But anyway, there we go. There is the Heroes and Prospects package. Well, now, look at this Upper Deck. Like, here we go. I didn't even notice this. The Upper Deck package has been tampered with. It's already open, folks. Well, maybe they knew I struggled so much with it the last time. Oh, so are you saying somebody there at the Prestige... Dollarama people have been siphoning through packs, picking out guys. I don't know, some skullduggery happening here. Who do we got on the top? Well, star rookie Rob Blake. Well, that actually worked out. He had a hell of a career. He's in the Hall of Fame. Isn't it Rob Blake in the Hall of Fame? Hold on. I gotta, well, here, as you're talking amongst yourselves as I look this up, I want to, Rob Blake. Yeah, Hall of Fame induction 2014. Thought so. Yeah, what a career. What a hitter, too, man. He throw that ass into you? Shit. Tyler Wright. There you go. Yeah, old dub guy. Oh, Gary Roberts. There you go. One of the best power forwards of all time. Oh, Rod the Bod. Brindamore. Zarly Zalapsky. Peter Spavoda. Sergei Makarov. What is this, the international package? Oh, Jason Prusovsky. Yeah, the old Medicine Hat Tiger blue liner. Speaking of, I used to converse with him on Twitter a lot too. Another guy that I want to get on the show. Big dude, man. Yeah, drafted by the Rangers. I know he never played in the NHL, but solid D-man for the Medicine Hat Tigers. And I laughed when you look at his cards, especially his junior cards. Oh, dude, seriously, go look. Those listening right now, just do like a Google search. Just type in Jason Prusovsky and then like look up the Medicine Hat Tiger card of him. Oh, dude looks like he's 31. Yeah. That always cracked me up. Brian McReynolds.
I got to be completely honest. I don't know who that is. Although in Moncton and... oh, there you go. Huh. Sorry, man. Randy McKay with the Red Wings. There you go. Oh, wow. See, this is where the skullduggery happened. And the package already opened. Guess who the last card was? Jason Prasovsky. So I got two Prasovsky cards in one package and a Randy McKay. So I don't know what's going on. I don't, was Upper Deck trying to get rid of the Prasovsky cards? What was going on there? Yeah, they, well, there we go. Well, Jason Prasovsky. Yeah, that always cracked me up. You know, he was, buying beer for the boys for sure. There we go. There can't beat opening cards on an audio podcast. Tremendous.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. It's Connor Bedard is going to keep it up here in the new year as we head into the Christmas season. Connor McDavid and the Oilers are starting to heat up here at the quarter pole mark. We'll see what happens here in the new year. But download the app now and use code THPN. New customers get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is completely out in left field somewhere. I was writing notes down here the other night of like what I was going to talk about at some episode. You know, as I was scrolling like Facebook and stuff, and I'm not talking about GoFundMes because I understand GoFundMes. But I can understand like raising money for someone, like if they have an injury or like funeral expenses or there's a tragedy and stuff like that. I completely understand that. That's not what I'm talking about at all. But it's like, I see these, and I will say, my attention to the show is going to start talking about gambling here shortly. Yeah. Cause I'm not a degenerate at all. but no, I was just like over the last couple, cause I've actually had days off. My wife and I, we'll sit there as we're eating supper and stuff. We kind of just watch YouTube channels or stuff. There's a couple gambling channels that we're watching. Vegas Matt, I'm a big fan of. You know, just slot machine channels. I always used to make fun of the nephews for watching, like, Minecraft shit. Then here I am watching, like, slot machine channels. So, is that not the same thing? And, I mean, when it comes to podcasts, I listen to, like, Follow the Money and shit like that. And Gambling with an Edge and, you know, different gambling podcasts. But, get to the point already. Anyway, there's a bunch of, like, Vegas, I hate to call them influencers, because, whatever. But they go to different places in Vegas, different restaurants, they rate different hotels and stuff. Or a lot of them just wander around, film shit and whatever. Now and again, we don't watch a lot of those, but now and again we will. And we were just sitting here around the last couple nights, and it's like, yeah, whatever, we'll just turn it on. I don't understand, like, these people ask for, what is it, Ko-fi or Go-fi or something, whatever it is. It's like Patreon or something, or Patreon, I guess. But it's like, oh, they're doing this live feed, and it's like, oh, send me money. It's like, oh, and like the one guy's, oh, if it's on New Year's, you could send me money to buy a drink and stuff. I'm like, I don't know. Isn't that kind of pathetic? Like, that'd be like, I don't know, I'm going to do a live show, and like Alec and Jay and I'll do a live show, and then as we're watching, hey, anybody out there want to send money for the show? Like, send me, I don't know, it just seems kind of, like the Patreon, like I've been at, well, there's one of the questions I've been asked, am I ever going to do a Patreon? No, I mean, here I am, just the hypocrite in me, never say never, but I don't know, like I'm fortunate enough when I do this show, I actually get paid to do this. The Hockey Podcast Network pays me. So I don't need to do a Patreon. Now, I was like, I don't know how many more. The thing is, to do a Patreon, to me, from what I understand, people do like extra episodes, or like maybe it's an interview and it's an exclusive interview that if you don't, you know, if you're a member of the Patreon group, you get or whatever. Okay, like you're doing extra work, so I understand that. But like I said, when I'm cruising along here and I'm doing an episode every Wednesday and Sunday, how much more extra content can I really give you? And I mean, and what extra content would it be? Just more of me talking? Like, no. To me, if I was going to charge people or do a Patreon type thing, I'd have to be interviewing players or people of, well, people that people would pay to listen to, I guess, you know, or whatever. I mean, whatever that may be, I guess. Again, I've never put much thought into the Patreon thing. Again, maybe if I was doing this and I wasn't getting paid and it was like, well, you know, I'm doing all this, how can I monetize this somehow? And again, I'm not shit-talking people. Like, to me, the Patreon, when you're producing something, when you're making content, whether it be art or music or a podcast, you're creating something. So to ask to get paid for that, or donate or whatever, it's like busking or whatever. Like, I can understand that. You're giving people something for their money. Like, hey, it's a Patreon, it's $5 a month or whatever people charge. Okay, but you're giving them content. So you're giving them something for their $5. You're not just begging for money. So it's like, I don't have a problem with that. Well, I don't have a problem with any of it. It's your money. You do what you want with it. I'm just on a personal level. I'm just saying, not that the Patreon thing, oh, I'm above that. I wouldn't charge anybody. I'm not saying that. I'm fortunate enough that I'm already getting paid. So I've never thought of the Patreon thing. But my other thought is, I just don't have enough time to do more episodes. So it's like, no, the Patreon, to those, somebody asked, like I said, I've been asked this a few times, and to those, no, I'm not doing a Patreon because I don't have time to do another episode. So that ain't going to happen. I don't have a problem with people that do it. Not that they would give a shit if I had a problem with it. I understand it, but you're creating something, or you're creating a product to sell to someone. So that's, yeah. But this, just send me money because it's a donation to, I don't know, like I just, for nothing? Like, I mean, now that I'm saying that, now I've kind of talked my way through it. I guess these people that are doing live feeds or whatever, I mean, I guess they're, well, I'm not guessing, they are creating content for people to watch, so I get it. I don't know, I just think, like, if you could afford to fly to Las Vegas, afford to stay at a hotel, and be there for New Year's, to get online and kind of beg people or ask people to send you money to buy you drinks, whatever. Or send me some money and I'll play blackjack and I'll film it and you can watch me put it all on black or something. Like, okay, but if you win, are you going to send them the money back? Like, no. So, I don't know. I mean, hey, if people can send what they want to send, it's not like, oh, if you don't send anything, you're not allowed to watch. But I don't know. I just find that, yeah, I don't know, the whole, it's almost like you're begging at that point. So, I mean, I don't know what any of this has to do with anything. I was just sort of, I saw it before we got going, before, as I was sitting here the other night writing things down, I just scrolled through. I'm not going to say who it was, but I saw that they were asking for money and they were there in New Year's and I'm kind of like, okay. The comments kind of cracked me up. They're like, well, if I was there, I'd buy you a drink. Or last time I was there and saw you, I bought dinner for you and that's good enough. And kind of getting shit talked in the comments a little bit. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. What am I saying here? I have no idea. Oh, on the fight front, Ryan Devine got into two more fights with that. I want to say, is it Bouchard? I'm not quite sure his first name, but they kind of had had two fights and they were good. I want to say I gotta give Bouchard the win in the first one. I know Devine kind of went for a Superman punch kind of deal. He does this, I don't know, it's kind of like a Superman punch. And the guy kind of avoided it, kind of gave him the head fake, and Devine could never get set properly again. And this guy was lining some good shit. Devine never went down, but you could just tell he could never, like, kind of right the ship again. He was sort of off balance for the rest of the fight, and it was a good one. They went back and forth and everything, but I'd have to give Bouchard the W in the first fight. And the second fight was a good one too. Some wild swings and everything, but some solid bouts anyway. So well done, boys. I've been asked this quite a few times, and old Rob there has been putting up drop the gloves fight cards, and people have been, oh, it sucks that it's gone. Yeah, it does suck that drop the gloves is gone, without a doubt. But I have been asked about when Probert was king. Steve, he a couple years, 2 years ago, had taken up a collection, speaking of GoFundMes, but it was to bring back a drop your gloves type site, and one that's run by hockey fans that give a shit and want to preserve the history and everything. I've had Steve on the show a couple times and we've talked about it. And it's sort of his computer guy, that, cause Steve's not a computer guy. So he had to hire a computer programmer, a coder, whatever it is, to basically set up the site and everything. And it stuff costs money. And at the same time, he's trying to explain to the guy, this is what we want. And it's not like this guy was a big, oh, the computer guy was a big drop the gloves guy, so he knows exactly what you mean. He doesn't know. And of course, you're like, fight cards. This guy's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Fight cards? You mean hockey cards? You know, like, so it was a real, no, this is what I mean. And all that stuff costs money. And, you know, and Steve's put a lot of his own, like, somebody, oh, was it a scam? He was just wanting money. No, because Steve put thousands of dollars of his own money into it. And no, it's not a scam. He has, the site, the shell of the site is up if you want to look at it. And I know this means a lot to Steve, and I know he feels really bad that it hasn't progressed further. The thing that he is really frustrated with is, like he said, you have thousands of members in these fight groups on Facebook. He goes, not one of them is either a computer programmer or knows a computer guy. None of them, really? And I tend to agree with him. It's like, yeah, that's true. Like, you'd think somebody would know somebody. But regardless, I know Steve is, they were kind of dead in the water for a little while. But since then, Brian, the computer guy, has kind of, cause he's doing other projects as well. I mean, it's not just his job is to solely focus on this new Drop Your Gloves site. He has other projects he has to work on. So he kind of does it, I think, on the side, sort of. He's sort of jumped back in and working out a few of the bugs and everything else. Again, this is what Steve's told me so far. But I am going to get Steve on here in the new year shortly. I know I've said it a few times now, but now that the holidays are over and we're back to, you know, normal scheduling programs, I will get Steve on here and he can explain all of it. But I know for a few of the people that had talked about, like, I kind of gave money to it and I don't know what's going on. And no, you didn't get hustled out of money. It's not like, oh, he took everyone's money and jumped the plane and, you know, now he's living in Bora Bora off the grid. He's still around. He is in the fight groups. It's when ProbertWasKing.com. Send him a message and ask him. He will gladly respond to you and tell you he's not hiding, but where everything is. And he's been he has made posts periodically about what's going on with the project and everything else. Like I said, he is putting in the work, folks. And, I don't want anybody out there that may have given money to the project or just was talking about it and feel like, oh, this guy is a shyster or something, or it was a scam. No, not at all. Again, the site is up online. You can look at it. It's bare bones right now. Now, I think what the other thing is when you talk about it, like, oh, he's going to bring back Drop Your Gloves, it's not going to be the Drop the Gloves you remember the moment it comes online. Like, oh, it's like it never left. No, the Drop Your Gloves, that was a decade plus of information that was put into that site before it went down. So that was years and years of people contributing and putting stats up, and the amount of time and effort that went in. It wasn't just the one guy that owned it there. He did all of that work. No, he didn't. He had lots of people helping him out. And so that was decades worth of material there on that site. So no, it's not going to, this new site's not going to come up and just be like, oh, it's like everything's the same. I mean, that's the goal going forward, that eventually it's going to be that much and more. And it's going to be a one-stop shop for a fight fan with message boards and fight cards and everything else. But that all takes time. And computer programming. It just doesn't magically appear. So for those asking, I know, again, that was one of the questions I had asked to me. Yes, it is being worked on, and I'm going to get Steve on the show, and he can better explain it than I, my babbling ass over here and where we're at completely. But no, for those wondering, no, it wasn't a scam or anything like that. It is being worked on, and Steve is more passionate about this than anybody. So another point, somebody was asking about my YouTube channel and why I don't put fights up very often anymore. No, you're correct. I have put up fights sparingly the last year. That is going to change. I will say on the, as I brought up a few times now, I've mentioned, I have a new job. Actually, I start tomorrow. Yes, that's why I'm recording this early on Tuesday. I start tomorrow. I didn't work the last 2 days, and actually on the weekend, that's not true. I worked on Sunday. My Sunday was my last day on the truck, and then Monday and Tuesday here, I've had off and getting ready, and got to say, a little anxious. Obviously, my nerves are, you know, I know tomorrow morning, I'm sure I'll spend the first 10 minutes after I wake up in the bathroom, but yeah, it's like I said, it's a new adventure after 16 years moving on. I'm still with the city and everything. It's just a different department, but I'm in a supervisor role. So I'm actually going to have responsibilities now and stuff. So, yeah. So anyway, not that anybody listening gives a shit, but having said that, my schedule has changed. I'm still working during the day. Still a day job, Monday through Friday. And it's actually Tuesday to Fridays, and then the next week is Monday to Thursday because it's 10-hour shift. So I'll have two off, four off, two off, four off. So that'll be cool to have the four off thing. The reason I bring that up is that is going to afford me a lot more free time, and which I didn't have. I worked constantly this last year. I still can't believe I put out as many podcast episodes as I did. Because I think I brought it up on the air. I believe it was 2 or 3 weeks off I had in a year, in the last year, when we went to Vegas in February and then in September. We went for 5 days and went for 10 in February. Yeah, this is 15. I think basically I can't remember. I worked it out once. I said 18 days I had off last year. Yeah, so something stupid like that, like just crazy. You know, so it was just short-staffed, and I was being spiteful, I think. There were some personal things I was irritated about, and I was making a point. But I was going to say, there was many Saturday mornings when I was driving into work thinking being spiteful is very tiresome. But on the weekends and stuff, I would work in the mornings, but I'd be home by noon or 1 o'clock. So it wasn't like, oh, I was grinding away 14-hour shifts every day. Nothing like that. But you're just there every day. You got to get up in the mornings and go. And so that got really tiring. So financially, it was very good. But, you know, at some point, you do have to look around, and there is more important things than money. So with this job, it pays more an hour, but I don't think I'll be making as much, because there's not really that much overtime in it, that far as I know. There's a little, but I kind of taken losing money probably with this, but in taking less money, I get more time off, and I'm actually going to get holidays off and 4 days off, like I said, in a row. So the point of all this, as I babble on, is... I have plans for the YouTube channel. I want to do some stuff with it. I know I've said that for a bunch of years now, but I do want to do some biography type things, some fight videos, some different things, things that I've done on the show, kind of myth and reality or player spotlight, stuff like that. And I have hundreds and hundreds of hours of fights on DVD. So I think I'd like to incorporate that into some of the videos and maybe, like I said, do biography pieces or maybe just, oh, the 10 best fights, whatever, and just stuff like that. And so I think my goal is to get the YouTube channel monetized again, but also just kind of humming along and just creating more content, because I'm going to have time. Now, to the podcast part. Now that I have more, that I'm going to be having more time and more free days, where there's going to be a couple Mondays, Tuesdays, that type of thing, where I'm free all day. It's not like, well, I work till 2 and we can go at 4. No, like if a guy can like come in the, I can do stuff in the morning. I can do stuff overseas with people, cause of the time difference and stuff. Well, I'll be home all day in the morning. It's not like I'm a big, oh, I sleep till noon cause I had the day off. Like, no, I'll still be getting up. I must be my age. I really can't sleep in anymore, but like I'll be up at like 7 or 8 in the morning, like on days off and stuff. So I can talk to people overseas. Cause of course for them, it's like 7 or 8 at night. So I can do more overseas stuff. Cause there's a few characters over there I'd like to talk to and get on the show again. Yuka, be ready. But also, I've talked to a few ex-players and stuff, and they're like, oh, can you do Monday at noon? It's like, well, no, I got a job. Well, now I can do Monday at noon. So, I'm not promising anything. Cause again, it's not just up to me whether these guys show up to do the interview or not. But I have heard from people that they would like me to do more player interviews. We'll see. I'm not real keen on running around and chasing people. Like, well, I'm still not going to do that. I don't care how much free time I have. I could be retired and I'm still not going to do that. There is going to be some, if anything with this new schedule, if anything, the show will improve. Some might say that's not really that hard as I'm saying this, but I'll have more time to give to the show because not only will I have like, you know, whatever, you know, Mondays off or Tuesdays, well, my wife is at work at that time. So I'll have all day, all morning, all day to do show stuff. Cause there's sometimes, you know, at night she gets home from work. I get home. We haven't seen each other. Gonna eat some supper. Well, I do have to talk to my wife for a little while. I can't just ditch her, and come down in the basement, which I do a lot. But, there are times, you know, I'll have to move here, go out or do whatever. So I might say, oh, the show suffers because I'm married, but I don't have as much free time as like a single dude would. So, but in saying that, I think with days off while she's at work, will give me time to concentrate more on the podcast. So, I think this new schedule will work out for the show. I think we'll see. I don't know. Other than that, I'm looking, it's like been 50 minutes already and I really haven't said too much. Other than things, I guess, just looking forward to in the new year, really looking forward to AJ Galante and Daniel Lansbury's Major League Hockey fights. That new, it's going to be their version of Ice Wars, I guess. And, you know, they haven't set up a date or anything of the first event. But I know I'm really looking forward to that. As anybody who knows, listens to the channel knows, I'm a big Ice Wars fan. And in saying that, I really hope Ice Wars continues as well. And we get to see Ice Wars 4. I know there's been some stuff behind the scenes there. I don't know what's going on in terms of what their next event is going to be or what they're doing. But I'm hope the best for them as well. I'm not picking sides. I'm, like I said, I don't have a dog in this fight. Is there, like I said, I know AJ and Charlie who runs Ice, they had a falling out or whatever and they separated, you know, business disagreement. Both guys have been great with me. So I'm not picking sides. All I want is to see fight events and the fighters making money and people enjoying it. We get to see hockey fights on pay-per-view and we can bet on it. That's all I'm asking for. I will promote both events. I will have competitors from both events on. And I'd like to have AJ and Charlie on again and different and talking about the events. Like I said, I will promote both events wholeheartedly. And I'm just a hockey fight fan, man. Like I said, I'm not picking sides. It's not Coke or Pepsi to me or, you know, WWF or WCW back in the day. No, to me, it's hockey fight tournaments and whatever gets the boys paid and people to see it, I'm all for it. So that's what's going on there. So I'm looking forward to that. But a few of the questions I had been asked just in the last little while that we'll kind of end on here. Favorite World Junior team, I already answered that. I was always talking about gambling and stuff. I had somebody ask me what my biggest win ever gambling was. I've been fortunate to have, I would like to say the lottery, but that, no, I can't even get a free play on the freaking lottery. Here in Canada, I brought this up. Canadian listeners will know what I'm talking about, but for the American folks, obviously we have lotteries that are run province by province or by the government. Like you guys have Powerball and stuff. Well, here we also have a thing called ProLine, and it's sports betting. And we've had this for 30 years now. You bet on hockey, NBA, NFL, college basketball, college football, soccer, you name it. And they're parlay tickets for anybody that's gambling. Although now the new pro line that just came around a year ago, you can bet on single games. But before that, it was parlay tickets. You had to play a minimum of 3 games, maximum of 6. And any real gambler will tell you that parlay tickets are a complete sucker's bet. But if you hit them, obviously the pay is huge. It can be. And, anyway, my biggest gambling hit was on a sports line or a sports select, ticket, a decade ago. Back then with hockey, you could pick ties. And in order for it to be a tie, it had to go to a shootout. Didn't matter who won the shootout, but it just had to go to a shootout. So back then when I did it, of course, that was basically because they didn't do 3-on-3 and all that shit back then when I had picked the ticket. So the odds were like, you know, you're talking super long shots here to go to a shootout. Let alone I picked 4 ties on the ticket. I picked 4 ties and I bet $10. And, cause I had a $10 bill in my wallet and I was just like, what the hell? And I went over to the board and I didn't really, like at that point, I wasn't really watching hockey anymore, but I just kind of looked at the odds and I kind of looking at the teams that the odds were sort of similar. I was like, they're kind of even teams. So I picked 4 ties randomly, literally throwing a dart. And, I picked 4 ties, bet $10 and it hit and I won $11,200. So that was my biggest gambling win. So that was a nice win. I have won since then a few times, not as many as I would like, but I've won a couple thousand here and there. I won 4,000 last year during the NCAA tournament, stuff like that. So I've managed a few wins. You know, I was going to say I probably spent more than I've won. Maybe it's pretty tough. I've won a bunch of, maybe over the year because I've been doing it for 30 years. I remember being in high school. Of course, back then I wasn't betting $10 or $20 on a ticket. I was betting $2 a ticket, but we'd fill out our little, 6 games and bet $2 and, you'd play 6 games, you bet $2 and if you won, you got paid 21. Of course, when you were 16 years old, that was, that was back then, that was enough for a case of beer and to put put case of beer and $5 in your gas tank. You're the king of the world at that point, how times have changed. But, that's why I always talk about sports betting and people get mad that it's on TV and that's all they talk about now. They talk like sports betting is a new thing. Now we've been doing this shit in Canada for 30 years. You go to 7-Eleven, buy a big gulp, fill out a ProLine ticket. So this isn't new, but yeah, that was my biggest win. Bad beat, my worst loss, as they say, bad beat in gambling. Same idea. This one still hurts to talk about. And, I have people that can verify this story, so I'm not just jerking your chain and, it's not a fishing story here, but same idea, playing pro line tickets. It was in the morning. I had happened to hurt, because back then, which was great about pro, again, I'm talking like people, if you're a gambler, you know what I'm talking about, but the odds and when you're betting on sports, the odds are constantly changing right up until the moment of puck drop or tip off or whatever, because there's money coming in on either side or something could happen, so the odds change. But the great thing at the time, not it's changed now, but at the time when I was betting, again, this was about 10, 12 years ago, once the odds were put out, they didn't change. They were in stone. So every once in a while, you could catch a break because I can remember it was college basketball. And overnight, whatever, the best player had been kicked off the team or a couple of them had broken curfew. And it happened on 2 teams. And it was like kind of some high-ranked basketball teams, whatever. It was like Duke, but they were in town to play like Armpit State. Armpit State was massive underdogs to Duke. But 2 of Duke's best players had broken curfew, so they were scratched from the game. And this other team, whatever. There was 2 really big college basketball long shots that I picked on this ticket because a bunch of the best players had broken curfew or got hurt or whatever it was. They weren't playing that game. Of course, in the morning before I go to gambling sites and I read up on shit. It wasn't like I was just blindly betting the ties in hockey like I had on the other ticket. I was actually kind of air quote doing research. But I come out, oh, breaking news in the morning. Oh, so of course in Las Vegas or in like actual gambling, of course the odds would shrink down because, oh, the two superstars aren't playing. Well, in Sports Select, they couldn't because the odds have already been put out. So they were cemented. So I took the two college basketball long shots and again, four hockey ties. So a six-team parlay ticket. And I bet $5 on it. And not a word of a lie, as God is my witness, the ticket paid, it was like $205,000 on a $5 bet. And it was a six-game parlay. It was crazy. It was like four ties, hockey ties. Again, they all have to go to shootouts. And two super long college basketball long shots. And it was a $5 ticket. So I'm going to 7-Eleven in the morning, buying my super big gulp, my nachos or whatever. And I had a lottery ticket in my hand because the lottery had been on the night before. The Powerball, Super, or Max, Lotto Max. So I got him to scan the ticket. The guy goes, oh, you won $20 on my lottery ticket. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Just for jokes, again, I had the slip. I filled it all out. It was a $5 ticket. I said, hey, run that ticket four times. And he's kind of looking at me like, all right. So I bought four tickets. So basically, like I said, they paid 200 and whatever it was, 220,000, something like that per ticket. So of course, if I win this ticket, it's going to pay me $900,000 because I got four of them. Okay. So I go home. We're doing shit all day. We're going to Home Depot. We're doing whatever. So I'm not paying attention. When I get home, and it's about 4 o'clock when we get home, the basketball games had been like really early in the afternoon. So I go and look. Well, son of a bitch, wouldn't you know it, the two long shot basketball games won. Well, I was like, holy shit, those games actually came in? Unbelievable. So I'm looking at my ticket, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, hey, shit, I got the two basketball games, right? Just need these four hockey ties to come in. Again, we went to my parents' house. I'll never forget it. Went to my parents' house, had supper there, whatever, hung out. Came home, got home at about, I don't know, 10 o'clock. Come into the condo at the time, go upstairs. I turn on Hockey Night in Canada, and the final game was Vancouver and Tampa Bay. And it was 3-3 with about 5 minutes left in the third period. Oh, yeah. Well, I have one. I have them to tie on my ticket. Well, as I'm watching the game, I'm watching the scores go along the bottom of the screen. And they're looking, and I just see this shootout on all these teams. I'm like, holy shit. So I forgot who I had picked at this point. I go and grab my wallet, grab the tickets, and I'm watching this. I'm looking at the scoreboard. I'm 5-for-5. The only game I have left is Tampa Bay and Vancouver to go to a shootout. And it's tied 3-3 with like whatever, a couple minutes left in the third period. So again, they still got to play overtime to get to the shootout. So my wife starts talking to me, and I'm like, shut up, don't talk to me. So she knows, she sees me with the ticket in my hand, she knows shit's on, right? She like beetles out of there, she's out. And I'm sitting there watching, sure as shit, they're tied. They go into overtime. So I have 5 minutes, between 5 minutes to almost basically becoming a millionaire. And they had called a penalty on Tampa Bay. So now it's, is it 4-on-3 or 5-on-4, whatever. They're on the power play. And it's a shoot. Me, me, me. You're just firing shots. And Vancouver's blocking, keeping it out, whatever. And I'm just like on the edge of my seat. Like my asshole is puckered. I'm sweating. My stomach is in knots. Like it's $1 million on the line, more or less. And sure enough, you know, they're banging on the thing on the ice. And it was Vincent LeCavalier, I believe, steps out of the penalty box with about a minute left in the overtime, and they hit him with a breakaway pass. And, yeah, you can figure out what happened from there. I was halfway down the hall when he comes in, he shoots, he scores! And I just shut the bedroom door and literally got in the fetal position on bed. And I am not afraid and ashamed to say that I pretty much cried myself to sleep that night. Losing $900,000 by one goal. So there you go. There is my bad beat gambling story. How about I end on that? How's that one for you? Yes. I mean, but who needs $1 million, right? It would probably just lead to headaches and strife in the family. And no, I've actually told that story a few times. Actually, if you bring that story up to my wife now, you could probably make her cry to this day. And it was over a decade ago. So, yeah. Yeah. I haven't told that story in a long time. That still kind of twinges. So I always say now and again, if when I'm gambling or we go to Vegas and I lose a couple $100, I'm not flipping chairs because I can never lose anything or come that close to losing that much again. So it's, nothing's going to hurt as much as that ever hurt. So everything else at this point is just kind of, what are you going to do? That's gambling. But, that one stung for sure. But that's gambling. It is. And, what can you do? But anyway, there's a high note to end on. There we go. But yeah, there you go. That's my worst gambling story. Bad beat. But that's also another reason why I always laugh. I never, and probably to this day, I never watch things I bet on. I know it doesn't make sense. Like, people usually bet on to get a sweat for the game or make the game more exciting. Yeah, ever since then, I can't really watch sports that I bet on for that reason. And from further on after that, it always seemed like whenever I was watching something I'd bet on, something like out of the ordinary would happen and I would be winning, but then I'd lose. Like, you know, with a minute, like they fumble the ball or, you know, whatever. Baseball, the guy'd make an error on third base or something and allow two runs to score. And, you know, it was always just like horse shit things that would happen. So I was like, holy, I'm jinxing this. So it's like all the times that I've won on my tickets and stuff, I've never watched the game. So I'm always sort of big on not watching things that I bet on, which probably in some ways defeats the purpose, you know, because I think people bet on things to make them more exciting. But at this point, I'm just betting for the money. So, anyway. Well, there you go, folks. There's a gem to start 2024, this episode, me babbling. Well, there you go. It was an hour. Just like I said, I'd ramble for an hour. But anyway, guys, before I get out of here, I know this in the new year, we're already in 2024, but I want to wish everybody that listening and has listened and my former guests that have come on, the fight fans, the players, I want to thank all of you guys for taking the time in your life to come on this show, share your stories. Everybody out there that listens, like, and I always say this every episode, and I'll say it for everyone other. I know there are hundreds and hundreds of hockey podcasts to listen to. The fact that you chose to listen to mine, I greatly appreciate it, and I'm humbled by it, and I love to get the feedback from you guys, and good, bad, or otherwise. I've made lasting friendships because of this show. And I want to wish everybody out there a very healthy and happy 2024. And I know from, like I said, on a personal level, I know it's going to be a year of change for me, different job. I'm not one to make, New Year's resolutions or stuff, but my wife and I have sort of committed to definitely losing weight and getting healthier. And, that is on the agenda. Right now, all I can think about is a new job, though. I gotta let me get through the first couple weeks of that, then we'll work on a few things. Because right now, as I'm talking about it, even now, my anxiety's up a little bit. But, it's gonna be a different year. Like I said, different schedule, sort of, with time off. And that's actually something I'm really looking forward to, is the time off. And if it can make a better product for you, the listener, I think that'll be cool. So, and I think it will. Because like I said, there's a lot of times, you work that much, sometimes you can't put in 100% on the, I never phoned one in. I always tried to give you guys the best episode that I could, but I know some of them fell flat. I think the show will improve, I hope. And there's some changes and there's some things that I'd like to do with the show, with the YouTube channel, like I said earlier. And I think you guys will really enjoy that as fight fans. And, guys, like I said, I hope, like I said, everybody, I'm not going to start calling out names because if I miss people, they'll be mad or whatever, but, you guys all know who you are. And, like I said, everybody that listens, thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. I really do. And, it's been great. And like I said, it, to just think, I don't know, whatever it was, 4 or 5 years ago, go and buy a microphone from Staples and didn't really know what I was doing. Well, some would say I still don't know what I'm doing, but just sit down and start yelling and hope someone listens, to having the show growing and being paid to podcast, really. And, you know, and hopefully the show can grow. And, and like I said, it's all dependent on you guys, really. I always say you guys are my billboard. So if you're listening and you know a guy that maybe he's not online and or but he's an old school fight fan, hey, maybe tell him about the show. And I always try to say this is like the old fight message boards, but in audio form. So you got some of the older folks out there that maybe are longing for the days of gone by, that maybe you can give them some audio pleasure now and again with this show. So like I said, please pass it on. I'd greatly appreciate it. And yeah, guys, that's my pledge to you in 2024, is to keep going. And like I said, I have some ideas for the show, and talk to some people behind the scenes, and the show will be in some form or fashion for sure. I think when it comes down to it, for as frustrated as that I get sometimes with the show and chasing guests and everything, I probably will never, I shouldn't say never. I can't see the show ending, some form of a podcast ending for me anytime soon, because I think I just like to talk too much. I think my wife certainly doesn't want to listen to me. So like I always say, I think this lets me play out my radio fantasy. So the podcast will be out there in some form or fashion for a little while longer for sure. But I brought it up earlier on the last couple episodes. I talked about it. Jay and Alec and I had talked about doing a group show, you know, as we maybe move away from this and go to a group style show. It'll still be about hockey fights, but it'll just be more input. I actually think the show could really be something, because I have received feedback from when Jay and Alec and I do the, you know, the Ice Wars preview shows and the tournament shows. We've done a number of shows together as a group. It shows in the downloads that it's popular. There's some of my better episodes, and the feedback I get has all really been positive. So I think if the three of us kind of join forces, you know, and like I said, they're kind of stay up with the current game a little bit. I could throw in my old school knowledge, whatever that may be, but, and we could do some different stuff too, but I think it's something we're going to talk about going forward. I know, Alec has a few things to, you know, sort through and everything else. And once everyone's schedules get solid and, you know, we're on that, you know, and we can figure out what we're doing, because like I was saying before, the biggest thing when doing a podcast in my mind is consistency. And so we need to get everyone on board on a certain day and time and et cetera. And now when you're dealing with two other schedules, it's hard enough just on your own, let alone when you're getting two more. So I think the commitment, I'm not saying they're not committed, but it's something that we need to take. If we're going to do it, we need to do, if we're going to do it, we need to do it, be serious about it. And really come up with a real solid game plan and kind of a mission statement, if you will, going forward about what we want to do and what we're going to give the guests and our listeners. And yeah, because if we're going to do it, I always say, if you're going to take the time out to do it and all that, do it right. If you're not going to do it right, don't do it at all. So we have some plans still in the talking stages, but now in saying that, does that mean I will quit this show? Maybe, because I really can't. Or I just do this show once a week and do that show as well. Who knows? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But right now, just throwing that out, that might happen here in this year. But we'll see where everyone's heads are at. So we'll see. But in the meantime, you're going to be stuck with the fourth line voice for a little while longer anyway. I have talked to a few players here over the holidays and plan on getting something out for the new year with a couple of them. And yeah, going forward, we'll see what happens. But anyway, guys, there we go. An hour and a half an hour and 15 minutes, and I'm not going to say much. But anyway, I want, again, thank you very much for tuning in. Everybody, have a healthy, happy, let's attack 2024. All right, boys? Thanks thanks again for tuning in, guys. And yeah, we will talk to you on Sunday. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while I was on?